Hi, everybody. I'm Rick Sanchez. You know, I've been doing news now for some 30 years. Two languages all over the world. Here in the United States, I've interviewed four presidents, worked at four of the United States' major television networks. And I say that because I'm not crazy about what they do. You know why? I think news should be honest, direct, and impactful. This is Direct Impact. Okay, here we go. These are the stories that we're going to bring you because you're not going to see them on U.S. newscasts. I'm going to tell you that whether our government wants to admit it or not, Gaza attacks are escalating. Yes, they are. They are escalating outside of Israel. I'm going to show you something right here. See that? That's a ship that's sinking. It's a freighter. It was attacked off the coast of Yemen. And we're going to be talking about that. Also, why is Vice President Kamala Harris suddenly asserting herself in the war on Gaza? Ask yourself, what's really at play here? And then the woman who may be Kamala Harris's Republican counterpart has finally notched a win against former President Trump. And she uses the win to assert her womanhood. But the most important part of that story that you won't hear about in the U.S. mainstream media is that German military officials have been caught red-handed planning an attack on Russia. Okay, remember when the bridge into Crimea was blown up? It's the one that goes over, you see it there, it's the one that goes over the Kerch Strait, which is part of the Black Sea. It connects Russia with Crimea. There is now a leaked conversation with German military officials where they sound, well, they sound guilty as all get out in planning the attack on the bridge. And this is a big deal. All right, let's get started.
Finally notching her first 2024 win with a victory in Washington, D.C., Nikki Haley continues crisscrossing the country, hoping to spark a bit of momentum in a Republican primary race that looks all but over.
Okay, there it is. Nikki Haley has finally defeated Donald Trump. Somewhere at something, she has won the District of Columbia. For that win, she gets 19 convention delegates after winning 62% of the vote there. But she's still miles and miles away from Mr. Trump when it comes to actually being able to win the big enchilada. Notice her use here of the word fellas as she plays up her femaleness.
We had 14 people in the race. I defeated a dozen of the fellas. I just have one more fella I gotta catch up to.
Just one more fella to catch up to. Meanwhile, the other woman in the presidential or vice presidential race is now asserting herself as well. And she's doing it in the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Look at this.
Given the immense scale of suffering in Gaza, there must be an immediate ceasefire.
There she is, calling for a ceasefire. Now, here's the question. Why do you think the VP and not the president, not President Biden, is making that statement? Are they preparing her to take over as a candidate? Are they trying to build her up to combat her god-awful approval ratings? Or are Democratic Party officials addressing the fact that President Biden has lost credibility on the Israeli-Palestinian issue with voters? And maybe this is why that's happening.
The president of the United States answered very serious questions about Israel, for example, while licking
holding
an ice cream cone.
And I was like, it's melting. This is weird. But he got asked the question. He answered the question.
Yeah, that's what much of America's talking about. Now, to be fair, there's nothing wrong with the president of the United States having ice cream or having a chat with a late night comedian. He's not the first and he won't be the last to do something like that. But when you are hardly accessible to reporters, you don't take questions from real journalists in general, nor do you have or hold many news conferences. When you finally do sit down for an interview on something as important as foreign policy, one would think right? One would think that you would sit down with a real journalist, maybe somebody from the, you know, New York Times, Washington Post, Wall Street Journal, whatever, and not a late night comic while eating ice cream. But that's what happened. Speaking of foreign policy, a general topic most Americans know very little about because we get very little information about it. There is a very big story that the rest of the world is hearing about. Yep, they're hearing about it. We generally are not. It appears German military officials were neck deep in discussions on how to blow up one of the most important bridges that connects Russia, the country, to Crimea last October. Now, this is what the eventual explosion that did take place looked like. Look at that. See that right there? That's it. And it's amazing to see that. And here's what we know. So Germany's top military brass are overheard in the planning and destruction of that. It's called the Kerch Bridge. The conversation takes place between high-ranking German military officials, and it's very damning. Very damning, with the officials overheard devising a process and method to attack this bridge using the controversial Taurus rocket. They are also heard talking about how they can't rely on the Ukrainians to do this on their own. They actually say this. You're about to hear it. Now, pay particular attention, by the way, because this caught me, to how they use the personal pronoun we. They don't say it, they say we. And listen to how often it's used in this first discussion. Here, let's listen to it together.
I came to the conclusion that there are two interesting targets, the bridge in the east and the ammunition depots above. The bridge in the east is hard to reach. It's a rather small target, but the Taurus can do it. The ammunition depots can also be hit. If we consider the bridge, I don't think Taurus is enough, and we need to have an idea of how it might work, and for that we need satellite data. I don't know if we can train the Ukrainians for such a task in a short time, and we are talking about a month.
Now, again, let me just, I can't overstate this. What you just heard there are German officials talking about blowing up a huge bridge that connects Russia with Crimea. That's what you just heard. And what's even more damning is that the military officials are overheard discussing how they can do this without getting caught. Without getting caught. Because after all, Germany has said all along, and we've heard this many times, that they are in no way directly involved in the attacks on Russians that are taking place in Ukraine. Yes, they've provided some weapons, but that's about it. And they're certainly not involved in any attacks on Russian territory. This is what they've said over and over again. I mean, this conversation, it seems to refute that denial.
Gerhard, it doesn't matter. We need to ensure that from the very beginning, there is no mention that would make us part of the conflict. I am exaggerating a bit, but if we tell the minister now that we plan meetings and will drive by car from Poland so that no one notices, that's already participation and we won't do that.
You know what's really interesting about this? I find that what is most interesting about the reaction that's coming in on this is that media types, as well as the German chancellor, you know, Olaf Scholz, has been, the reaction has been surprising. It depends on how much you know about this kind of thing. Then again, maybe not.
Das, was dort berichtet wird, ist eine sehr ernste Angelegenheit und deshalb wird das jetzt sehr sorgfältig, sehr intensiv und sehr zügig aufgeklärt. Das ist auch notwendig.
So you notice the words he used there, serious matter must be investigated. When he calls it a serious matter that needs to be investigating, what's he talking about? He's not referring to the fact that his military officials, his generals, highest ranking, are overheard or appear to be overheard planning an attack against Russia, Russian territory, a covert action that could ostensibly lead to World War III. No. Do you know what he's actually talking about when he says that? What he plans to investigate, and what is a serious matter, according to him, is the leak. It's that the leak happened. That's what he wants to investigate. Seems curious to me. And by the way, that is generally, because I checked today, I started, you know, doing the whole crazy Googling thing, right? And as I Googled this story, the more and more I Googled it, I found that that's pretty much the way it's being reported to us here in the United States by our media. As if the Russians did something wrong by finding out and then disclosing that German officials were involved in the planning of a bombing operation on their sovereign territory. Okay, when we come back, is the Western foreign policy reckless these days? And by the way, what are the ramifications of these latest actions? I'm going to ask our guest, Mark Sloboda, why we as Americans are being left out of this, I guess, I don't know, what foreign policy loop. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Rick Sanchez. Joining us now is Mark Sloboda. He is an international relations and security expert. He's joining us mostly to talk about this situation we've learned from the leak of this conversation with German, high-ranking German military officials. You know, I don't know. Some people may think less of me for asking this question, but the question that comes to my mind when I hear this and see this is, do they want to start World War III? Do they want to start World War III, Mark?
No, they don't want to start World War III, but they want to be able to conduct cruise missile strikes on Russia on behalf of their Kiev proxy putsch regime without getting caught. According to the conversation, plausible deniability was of very important concern to them. However, if it was, then I suggest that they are incredibly incompetent, because it's almost certain that this conversation was intercepted. And we know that because not leaked, because it was the military has told us, they've told us, the German military has told us this conversation was real. They had this conversation on an unsecured online platform, WebEx, which is, I guess, something similar to Zoom or Skype. And even further, one of the members of the conference, Singapore, adding a whole new realm of vulnerability to the conversation.
But forget all that. The real question, but the real question here is, why in the hell are you having a conversation, period, about attacking Russian territory? It would be as if we overheard a conversation on the part of the Chinese or the Russians or the Iranians or whoever about attacking the 7 Mile Bridge that connects Florida to Key West. I mean, what would we do?
What we would do, we would have declared war already. We would have made preeminent strikes. If someone was planning cruise missiles, missile on our territory. And they discussed both attacks on the Crimean Bridge in Crimea, which, okay, the West does not consider to be part of Russia. The Crimeans disagree. My wife is Crimean. I know what I'm talking about, full disclosure. But they also talked about an alternate target, which was ammunition depots in Krasnodar on the other side of the bridge, which is unquestionably mainland Russian territory.
Yeah, but the reason they're doing this... But before we leave that point, okay, if they were attacking Crimea, maybe there could be an argument or a little bit of haziness there, but you're attacking a bridge that doesn't connect Crimea to Ukraine. It connects Crimea to Russia.
Yes.
That's important,
yes.
Isn't it?
And it has... Yeah, and this is the third time the bridge has been attacked. Well, it's been attacked twice already. If they carried through this attack, this would be the third time. This conversation was on February 19th. And both times before, it suffered only superficial damage and was quickly restored. It's a pretty massive and impressive engineering feat. And the German generals on the talk, on the conversation, were discussing how difficult it would be to destroy and that they might need 10 or 20 or more German Taurus cruise missiles in order to succeed, and even that it wouldn't be guaranteed. And it would have no military utility because the bridge is not used for military purposes, certainly not the road part of the bridge. And it has no strategic value. Russia has they call it a land bridge, has territory extending down from the Donbass to the Crimea. They also have an extensive ferry network. They're building new railroads all the way along the coast of the Sea of Azov. The bridge, even the German generals admit, would be hit for political symbolic value because the Kiev regime regards its destruction as kind of a Ahab's white whale.
What does it say to you that they seem so comfortable discussing something so nefarious?
What it says to me is that this is not the first time this has been done, that both the German military and other NATO militaries have been up to all sorts of similar activity in the last 2 years in this conflict. During the conversation, they also revealed that American and British troops are on the ground operating the equipment, high-tech equipment, that they have provided to the Kiev regime because the Kiev regime's forces can't be trained up quickly enough to operate it properly. They speak about a large number of people with American accents wearing civilian clothing that could be brought into the loop to carry out the operation. And the British as well. The British are far more open that they have hundreds of military on the ground participating in the conflict. They've done this before. That's what it's perfectly obvious from the demeanor that they have during the conversation.
If any of what you just said is true, that we have British and U.S. troops on the ground disguised as Ukrainians actually doing part of these operations, and if the reason they're so comfortable doing this is because they've done it before, then why aren't me, as an American living here in the United States, why is my media not telling me this? Why aren't they screaming bloody murder and saying, look what we're doing, whether you're in favor of it or not? Somebody's out there attacking a country that could lead to a massive, even nuclear war. Where's this conversation?
They have, actually. In June of 2022, the New York Times and the Washington Post both wrote about U.S. and European intelligence and special forces commandos on the ground in Ukraine. The British press reported about that they had some 300 Royal Marine commandos on the ground carrying out extremely dangerous and political risky operations in the area of the Ukrainian conflict. Mm-hmm. But it's not allowed to penetrate the narrative memory. It's noted and then forgotten. Because we're supposed to believe that the West is not involved in this conflict. And even when it obviously is, it's a matter of, you know, don't see, don't hear, don't say.
Well, we live in a time, let's be honest about this. We live in a time where if you want people to not know about it, put it in a newspaper and put it on page 15 of the New York Times.
Buried.
No one's going to know anything. Americans are not going to know anything about this. Maybe 1% or 2%, people like you and maybe me who are paid to try and know a little bit about something about this. But the real conversation in America, the national conversation, as we call it, takes place on CNN and NBC and nowadays somewhat on alternative media, on the Googles, et cetera. And that's where you're not seeing this. I guarantee you YouTube won't let this story appear there today.
I can certainly see that.
And that's a problem. I mean, if it's almost like when we were in Vietnam, and I know you and I have had these conversations in the past, at least during Vietnam, as an American, we started getting a semblance of some things that made us go, whoa, 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 we need to back up here, Mr. Johnson or Mr. Nixon. There's none of that right now, Mark.
Yeah, it is rather interesting how the anti-war sentiment movements in the United States have been completely neutered over time. The last time that we saw significant anti-war movements was during the Iraq War. And despite hundreds of thousands, millions of people protesting in the street, nothing happened. But it has to be noted, I think, that because most anti-war protesters tend to be of, shall we say, a liberal or democratic bent, they don't protest conflicts when they're conducted by democratic presidents as a rule. It's partisan politics.
What do you make of Scholz's reaction? And there's some talk I've heard that the Russians are trying to prick him to react somehow, that they're kind of targeting him in some ways with this leak that they were able to manifest. What do you make of that?
Yeah, sure. I think definitely the Russians are trying to get the German government to cease trying to declare, you know, to conduct acts of war on Russia. I don't think there's any question about that because of where inevitably that could lead. There's two possibilities. Olaf Scholz has told us multiple times already he's supposedly resisted pressure from his allies. He does not want to send Taurus cruise missiles to Ukraine. Yet his own generals are planning out how to use Taurus cruise missiles in Ukraine and in Russia against Russia, with Ukrainians serving as a fig leaf of plausible deniability loop. So either Olaf Scholz is lying to Russia, to his own people, to the world, about whether he plans to send Taurus cruise missiles, or he doesn't have control of his own military and perhaps his own powerful, politically ambitious defense minister, Boris Pistorius. And actually, many Russian analysts say that those Taurus cruise missiles that they're planning to use in these attacks are already on the ground in Ukraine, and they're just waiting for go order.
By the way, speaking of Pistorius, I was reading that he is, and let me just check to make sure I wrote this down right, the defense minister Pistorius is calling it disinformation, Russian disinformation. How can this be? Is he saying it's all a lie? And if it's a lie, why aren't they saying it's a lie? Why aren't they coming out and saying this thing never happened? It was made up. The Russians just put dolls there and spoke for them like puppets or something. That's not what they're saying.
Yeah, it's quite humorous to hear him say that this is part of an information war when they're planning an actual war on Russia. That's quite amusing. I mean, they were caught red-handed. Yeah, the German Ministry of Defense has admitted that it is authentic, and they have not challenged the contents of the recording, that it has been edited or anything. So when he's talking disinformation, they simply object to the fact that Russia has made it public and has caused their government a political embarrassment and perhaps even exposed what their military is up to that their government doesn't even know about.
And the thing that I keep coming back to is that it's a conversation that is not being had. That's what we try to do with this particular show that we do here now daily, by the way. For those of you who don't know, we're going to do this show now every day instead of just once a week. And it's for this reason. I just named off three or four stories at the top there that you're not going to get that perspective unless you're watching us or perhaps a few other people, maybe Tucker Carlson, etc. And I'm not saying I'm right. I'm not saying everything we say is the most important thing in the world. But by God, it needs to be said. And the American people need to hear it. I mean,
yeah, and I think this story is one of the most important things in the world, to be frank.
So do I, my friend. So do I. Mark Sloboda, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you for sharing some of your wisdom with us. Mark Sloboda, he's an international relations and security analyst. So before I go, I want to remind you of our mission here. Simple, really. De-silo the world, man. We've got to stop living in these little boxes where we know this, then the other guy or the other gal knows this. No, truths don't live in boxes. Truth is everywhere. So let's deal in truths. I'm Rick Sanchez. I'll be looking for you again right here to provide a direct impact.